Good evening, folks, and welcome back on this Saturday, the 29th day of February, 2020. I'm your host, Mark Call. And when it comes time to look back at this week, the appropriate word is either carnage, as applied to the stock markets and foreign exchange markets and basically financial markets worldwide at this point, or maybe surprise, surprise, surprise. Yeah, that's one word just repeated three times. When the world's ministries of truth finally decided, hey, obviously we just can't keep hiding the truth forever now, can we? The Dow and most other markets closed the week way down past 10% into correction territory, over 3,000 points. Even the almost real stuff, like paper, gold, and silver, were hammered big time on Friday. Goldman Sachs, a.k.a. the Vampire Squid, called it a cross-asset sell-off this week. Others called it things like deja vu, where have we seen this before, and whatever happened to the concept of free markets. Regardless, this was a week that a whole lot of things changed, psychology-wise, and that means that this week your host is going to do something a bit different than just a plain old wrap-up of what's been going on, nasty as it was, but hey, we've been seeing this coming now, haven't we? I'm going to focus instead on something that's been near and dear to my heart for quite a while, and that's why we need to make sure we're prepared for what's obviously been a long time coming, but is now here. Whether global Big Brother organizations like the WHO or even the CDC are willing to call COVID-19 a pandemic or not, they've certainly managed to get a lot of people by now scared to death. We will talk about some aspects associated with that, what it might mean, and more importantly, of course, what we can and should be doing about it. But I want to introduce where I'm going first, a couple of background stories, as I generally do, but also a little bit of personal commentary, because I spent less time in preparation for this show than I generally do today. For a good reason, and it's also a reason that kind of helps in a way with the preparation anyway. We've got several pregnant goats. One of them decided today was the day. But it was a real blessing. Got two new baby goats, and along the line, of course, lots of stuff to do and kind of hectic getting everybody ready and settled in and making sure that the new babies are doing okay and nursing and so forth. But somehow, something about delivering baby goats or small animals and watching the miracle of creation at work and reproduction and seeing how the mama takes care of the babies, all of those things, you can't help but, number one, I guess, recognize we are fearfully and wonderfully made. That goes for things like goats as well. The Creator's hand is really obvious when you see it really up close and personal. And two, it kind of helps to put things in perspective as we think about the coronavirus and the things that we need to be doing. It certainly gave me a lot to think about as I was cleaning up baby goats and taking care of a new mama and so forth. It also, by the way, is another indicator of preparations ahead. Some of you may know that being off-grid and getting all kinds of things that skills and capabilities in place that we haven't had for the most part in a suburban or urban kind of world for quite a while, I believe is a very good thing. It's an important thing. And it's also nice to remember that long after the new baby kids are weaned, mamas continue to produce milk. So all of this is important. All of this is part, at least, of the kind of things I encourage people to be thinking about now. And let me indicate right up front where I'm going with this emphasis on the coronavirus and various aspects of it. All of this, even the things that I'm talking about of a personal nature, give us another chance and furthermore a real incentive to recognize that we need to come out of her. And yeah, I'll say it again, we need to be doing it right now. All right, where I want to go with the coronavirus aspect of this, and it's just one aspect of a much bigger problem. I have certainly been talking about the inevitable economic meltdown, a lot of the conflicts that have been engendered and literally pushed by Big Brother for a number of years, whether we're talking about internationally or on the scale of producing a second civil war here in the United States. All of these things, for those with eyes to see and ears to hear, should have been moving us towards coming out, making preparation, and being ready for what is now evidently really a wave crashing upon the shore. I saw this story, and it's interesting because it comes from a source that I generally don't trust much further than I can throw them, ABC News, or Always Believe Communists. In any case, they oftentimes fall victim to the 80-20 rule. Mix a little bit of lies with 80% truth, and you get people to swallow it. What was interesting to me is, here is a story. I've certainly done this for weeks at this point, but it's good to see ABC finally, belatedly, before it's way, way too late, beginning to pick up on it. Coronavirus, it says, could lead to drug shortages in the United States. Gee, do you think? And they tell us about 90% of generics, especially that are made in the United States, however, require components that come from China. This is part of the supply chain dilemma. And they basically say, hey, we have a situation now where a person in California has been diagnosed with the coronavirus. First time in the U.S. that the spread has been seen without somebody, obviously having been in close contact, either with somebody from Wuhan that's been infected or the Diamond Princess cruise line or the like. So, where did this come from? We're not sure. They go on to point out that the U.S. relies on China for all kinds of things. As a matter of fact, most things, it seems. And I said for a while, I'll say it again, if you go to the Walmart and the shelves are empty, you'll know that it's too late. And unfortunately, I suspect that'll be about the time most Americans wake up to the fact that they've been had. Anyway, the U.S. relies on China, it says, for electronics, clothes, toys, and increasingly prescription drugs, 90% of which have active ingredients that are used by U.S. companies but come from communist China. All of which has prompted even politicians and so-called public health experts, to express concern over potential shortages of common generics. To date, though, and this I'm going to explore in just a bit more detail in a second, manufacturing disruptions caused by COVID-19 have not led, at least to reported shortages in the U.S., but have no fear, the almighty Food and Drug Administration, or Federal Death Administrators, since oftentimes they get in the way more than they... Oh, can I really say that? Yeah, folks. Let's just put it this way. I would a lot rather trust things that aren't necessarily FDA approved than things that eventually finally do get FDA approved, because the only thing you know for sure is that they might be less effective, but they'll certainly be more expensive. Anyway, they are monitoring the situation. Doesn't that make you feel wonderful? They're tracking about 20 drugs that are manufactured primarily in China. And depending upon the drug, it says, here's the key point, stockpiles lasting weeks, in some cases as long as months, have already been warehoused in the country, according to supply chain experts. Now, that's a little bit of a departure from so many things in a just-in-time delivery system. It's part of the reason why the global supply chain is so fragile and subject to major disruptions. Because if there are interruptions in the chain, things don't get shipped. Things don't arrive when they're supposed to. Well, you got workers sitting around with nothing to build in the way of parts on hand. And the problems, like dominoes, tend to kind of, pile on. Said David Jacobson, professor of practice at Southern Methodist University's Business School, it's an issue. Now, if China isn't in a position to turn around the drug manufacturing, then we don't have an alternative source from which to get them. Michael Wessel, commissioner of the U.S.-China Economic and Security Review Commission, said generic antibiotics and blood pressure medications could be among the first things affected. And we don't know exactly which products are going to be short, said another policy director and so forth. Beware the dreaded concept of hoarding. Oh, hoarding is bad, right? Having put aside stuff, when it's prudent, it's not called hoarding. At the point where Big Brother decides it's... something you should have done, but they didn't want you to do it, then it becomes hoarding. And it's hard to do anyway, because insurance companies will generally limit their subjects to a 90-day supply. As production is taken offline in China, said Wessel, the supplies of products into which those things go, 90% of generics, are at risk. And of course, remember, China's going to treat their own people first. Any country would do that. Let me ask a question, folks. If we know that China is going to treat their own people first, which does make sense, are they even going to ship things overseas if they don't have enough? Or is it possible we might need to be concerned about the quality of the stuff that does get shipped overseas? Not that the quality of the stuff that has been shipped already is necessarily first rate anyway. I will suggest that if you follow this, it probably means what quality levels there are likely to go down. And it brings us back to the question of... do you trust them? Who do you trust? And that's going to be one of the continuing themes throughout the show today. All right. From there, quick couple of comments from Michael Every at Rabobank. He's been on top of the situation. This is an economic analyst and one of the big ones in the world, well thought of. He wrote a piece today entitled, Markets Need to Start Pricing. In other words, need to get aware that one of two things is going to happen. One of them is bad. The other is terrible. Still, though, remember, we aren't officially in a global pandemic yet. And two, we have had that global pandemic declaration made in the relatively recent past. Do you remember this? Back in 2009 and 2010, when they were basically crying wolf. But rather, he says, we're being told by well-known voices on Wall Street, don't buy this particular dip. Yeah, buy the dips. We've been saying that for a long time, but maybe it's a little bit late for that. By the way, if you're curious, the Dow was down almost another 1,200 points today. It's below 26,000. 25,766 if you care, and that's about a 3,000-point drop, 10% or so, so it's an official correction now in just the last few days. The president's even concerned because he's essentially hitched his star to a stock market bubble, which some of us suggested was never a wise thing in the first place. And, of course, it's not good economics because, as you know, there is not necessarily a great correlation between stock market prices and a sound economy. There is a correlation, however, between stock market bubbles popping and a lot of fear. Anyway, WHO has noted that the spread of COVID-19, that's the World Health Organization, by the way, WHO, is now faster and wider outside of China than within it, although, of course, they also admit that China's been lying about the numbers to the tune of maybe 50 or more times worse in terms of infections and deaths than has actually been officially admitted. There are a lot of new cases in new locations, Georgia, Greece, Finland, Macedonia, Norway, Romania, and, of course, lots of others that we already have heard about, Italy, South Korea, and so forth. And we've had that first case in the U.S. unrelated to something directly from China. The president has recently appointed Vice President Mike Pence to be the new virus czar. And in places like Israel, travel shutdowns and lockdowns are proceeding apace. Israel's actually advises people, hey, try not to travel internationally at all. So, bottom line, says Rabobank's Michael Every, markets now need to start pricing for one of two things. One, either COVID-19 is gonna spread, and it's going to make an untold number of people sick and kill a bunch of others, and economies will go into lockdown as supply chains continue to be badly hit. Or two, governments are going to lock things down anyway. The public are going to rapidly scale back, booga, 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 on most activities, and supply chains, hey, guess what, will still be, again, badly hit. And in either case, don't buy the dips, he says, and be aware of what's coming. Oh, by the way, there'll probably be one other thing, and I'll come back to this too. As the world panics over COVID-19, we may see a bounce, a strengthening of the almighty fiat dollar. But don't worry, it probably won't last, but it will have effects on things like the gold market. If you're thinking about it, that probably means a brief, maybe real brief, buying opportunity, at least better prices than we're seeing right now. All that leads me to a piece that I think is part of where I want to go today from Jim Willey. Some of you know I've really enjoyed reading Jim Willey for a number of years. He has a good head on his shoulders, some pretty good G2 inside baseball kinds of things from some people that have been giving good advice. I like his track record. And, of course, he has an Austrian viewpoint as well, so all of us can understand that bubbles don't continue to expand forever. Eventually, they pop. Before I do that, though, here's where I want to go. I'm going to lay this out, and you'll see the Jim Willey piece is going to at least explain and kind of flesh out part of this. One, whether this is called a pandemic by various bureaucrats or not, we certainly have a situation which is unlike anything most of us have seen in our lifetimes, arguably since about 1918 and the Spanish flu epidemic, certainly bigger than all the booga 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 beta tests that we had before. Mouse pox, Zika virus, Ebola A and B, and a number of others to be afraid, be very afraid of, but that even if they were declared pandemics, turned out to be not such a big deal. So, will this be a big deal or not? Well, folks, it's already a very big deal, and that's what distinguishes it. But let me say this, and I want to emphasize this. We'll come back to a couple of these aspects of dealing with where we are in the world today as far as the pandemic itself is concerned. How many people are going to die? Will it infect you? Will you die if you get it? And so forth. I'll say this without too much fear of later contradiction. Probably the virus itself, even if it's an engineered bioweapon, is the least dangerous aspect of the whole stinking mess or circus or fiasco. Say, what? Did I really just say that? The virus itself, again, is probably the least dangerous aspect of this whole situation. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, the more important aspect, the next bigger thing, of course, and I've been talking about this, is the economic fallout. We're already seeing effects in the global supply chain. China is basically a basket case at this point. It is shut down. And when you have the biggest debt bubble in human history, and China is right at the forefront of that, there are going to be a whole lot of businesses. They don't have any cash flow right now, unless they're on the intravenous feeding line from the Communist Chinese Party, CCP. They probably won't survive. A whole lot of them are going to roll over and die. Well, what does that mean? It means that the dominoes will fall and there'll be other hits, impacts further down the line. But wait a minute. Hey, this bubble has been inevitably going to fall anyway. It was set to pop. All this happens to be is the pin that finally done it, if you will. I have used for years the metaphor of a bubble economy being kind of like a balloon, great big balloon, keeps getting inflated, more and more air pumped into it. Every time the Fed institutes QE, every time they print more money, every time we have a 2008 near meltdown event, or even before that in 2000, and they pump, it gets bigger. And picture that bubble or that balloon floating around in a great big room, literally lined with pins. Little pins, big pins, swords, needles, small ones, big ones, some of them bigger than others. Coronavirus is a particularly big one. Eventually, that bubble is going to get big enough or waft over against one of the walls, and it's going to hit them. Which one? We're not sure. And pop. Well, has it actually popped yet? Or are we just seeing a huge hole gathering steam and the bubble now beginning to move rapidly around the room like a rocket? Who knows? But it was set to pop anyway. Oh, and there's this. Now the Fed has a better scapegoat than they had before. Now, they were looking for a scapegoat because I think the Fed, even though they may be evil, aren't stupid. They knew darn well. And if you remember, so many Fed chairmen have said in the past, oh, we can't tell a bubble till it pops. Then in hindsight, we can finally recognize it. Well, they'll finally recognize this one. And as many of the good economists have pointed out, the Fed probably popped the 1929 stock market bubble and made the crash and depression, eventually it won't be called the Great Depression anymore, it'll be that event in the 1930s, but they made it worse than it otherwise would have been, exacerbated the situation. Remember, the Fed was supposed to prevent those things, but instead, up until today, the stock market collapse and the Great Depression were the biggest in U.S. history. Ah, well, we're going to have another one for the record books, I suspect. But at least, again, now the Fed one more time has another scapegoat. What does all this mean? Well, it means, folks, that whether the other things that we're going to talk about here result in a big scare and people don't get to travel into town or go to the local grocery store or the shelves at Walmart finally do end up being empty and so forth, if you need things, if you know that you'd better have certain things on hand, and you'll have all kinds of opportunities online. I've done shows like that here. Don't intend to do it today. But there are lots and lots of lists of things to have on hand. How about toilet paper? Certainly food, water, guns, gold, ammunition. All of those things are important. Have them. Tools. Can you repair things that break? Do you have parts that you might need for things that are critical? If you are if you're addicted or if you are reliant on some kind of prescription drug, obviously it's important to have those things or at least be able to wean yourself from those things. I remember back in the turn of the millennium, prior to Y2K, there was the big scare there. And the whole concept of all kinds of people that were addicted to SSRI drugs, suicide drugs, if you will. What would happen if all of a sudden their supplies were shut off? Answer, well, a whole lot of nutcases going out and wanting to kill a lot of people or kill themselves or who knows what they would do. But going cold turkey, probably on something that ends up being, up there at least, with various other kinds of very addictive drugs. You don't want to see it, but we may get a chance to see what that looks like. This is the time to think about those things, plan for those things, and be aware. that if you have a neighbor or a loved one who is forced to go cold turkey, wow, be aware, plan in advance, and, you know, ask a doctor now what to do about it. Answer, real simply, and yes, I'm not giving medical advice, I'm just providing preparation advice. But if you think about wanting to wean yourself from those things or wean a loved one from those things, you have to have a supply in order to be able to do that. All of these things are important to consider. All right, well, I was working up to what? The economic fallout is probably a more dangerous aspect of this whole mess than the pandemic itself. I just named a couple of other things that would be issues if the supply chains break. Imagine all the fallout and the dominoes that percolate on down the line from that fallout. Well, wait a minute. What would be the worst aspect then? I'm going to suggest it's Big Brother's reaction. Now, guess what, folks? Would it surprise any of you to know that your host has been suggesting for a long time that Big Brother is looking for an excuse for just such a reaction? We've seen beta test after beta test, plans for martial law of various ilks, executive orders, you name it. A famous one from Obama said, hey, if you've got it and we want it, we'll take it, and so forth. What kinds of reaction are we expecting or have they already been planning for that would be obvious? Well, for example, quarantines. Just take a look and see what Communist China has been doing. Would the American communists be almost as bad? Who knows, folks? I certainly don't want to test them, don't really want to see it. But I do think it's prudent to prepare for it and look at Communist China. They're welding people in apartment buildings, people that are literally being condemned to die. No, not necessarily from the virus, but because they're going to starve to death or die of dysentery because they're having to drink their own urine like people in ancient citadels that were surrounded and blockaded. A really nasty situation. Is it likely that more people will die from the government reaction than the virus itself? Well, that would be what history suggests. Medical martial law, in other words, is a real possibility. And finally, let's not forget, how about forced vaccinations? It's not like we haven't already seen the communists in New York City, the Bloombergs and de Blasios and that mentality saying, hey, we know what's good for you, whether you like it or not, whether you know or not, you stupid farmers, you, we're going to strap you down if we have to, take your children if we feel like it, and vaccinate you against your will. They just taxed them in New York and fined them for having the temerity to say, hey, I know better what's good for me than you do. Oh, no, you don't. What would they do in a situation of medical martial law? Well, history pretty well tells us. God-given rights don't matter, and neither do medical or sane or any other kinds of scientific evidence. Remember, there are already plenty of indications that the vaccines that are being administered to people oftentimes, certainly in a number of cases, whether you hear about them much or not, cause more harm than good. Oh, and finally, wouldn't it make sense? Why don't we have a socialist credit score? Well, we've already seen Big Brother's little public-private partners to Facebook, Gulag, and Twitter and so forth moving in exactly that direction, preparing to implement it. Just like in China, they've been shutting down information about vaccines. I saw an interesting YouTube video the other day where a pretty sharp woman was talking about, hey, did you know that there are some 5G effects that may exacerbate the situation? I've often talked about two-part poisons, binary weapons, and the like. Is it possible that the presence of 5G millimeter wavelengths it suppresses the immune system or does something to the skin? Any number of possibilities, but you're not going to hear about the research, and they're going to make sure of that, to make things worse. So, yeah, look for additional amounts of the usual censorship, too, to accelerate in all of this. And information will get tough to come by. So if you want to find the things that might have to do with keeping yourself healthy given what's coming, I'll suggest that this is a time to lay that in as well. All right, so there you have it. The least dangerous aspect is the pandemic itself, the actual virus. Next, the economic fallout and the supply chain dominoes that begin to fall. And perhaps worst of all, Big Brother's reaction that may end up killing more people than a single virus ever could have. We'll pick it up there with, of course, more on what we need to be doing about it now, while we still can, right after the break.
When I think back on all the crap I learned, it's a wonder I can think at all. And my lack of education hasn't hurt me none.
can read the writing on the wall. Court of Thrones.
Welcome back now to the second segment for this evening. I'm still your host, Mark Call, and I started off by saying, hey, you know, if you really look at the latest pandemic, or at least maybe pandemic, and we'll see, if you've been considering doing the biblical thing from Revelation 18 and coming out of her, it's hard to ask for a better indicator that now is the time to get off grid. I closed out the bottom of the hour by noting that the pandemic itself, the virus, is probably the least dangerous aspect of this whole circus fiasco. Next comes the economic fallout, the supply chain breakdown, and the fear factor manifesting itself in shutdowns of businesses, in stock market collapses, and in debt collapses. All of that was inevitable, but here is the pin that done it. And finally, perhaps the worst of all, the real dangerous and deadly part of this, could be the Big Brother reaction, ranging from quarantines and medical martial law to the inevitable, because they look for an excuse to do it, forced vaccinations and attempts to contain and grow the amount of control that they have over once-free Americans in every aspect. All right, where I want to go next is a story, real quickly, that I actually saw at the bottom of the hour break. This comes from Mike Adams and Natural News. It's breaking, he says. We've just learned that the very scenario we've been warning about has come true. Now, I alluded to this, but here are some more details. A woman in California in Solano County is now in critical condition after finally testing positive for coronavirus. More shockingly, he says, because of the CDC's own protocols and flowcharts, because the woman hadn't been in contact with anybody from Wuhan directly, she wasn't tested for 11 days. Well, California doesn't have any test kits anyway, and besides which, nobody trusts them. CDC failed to provide them. And the story I'll skip over, but suffice it to say, she suffered from flu-like symptoms, brought herself to a 50-bed hospital called North Bay Vaca Valley in Vacaville back in the middle of February. And she was transferred to UC Davis for advanced care 4 days later on the 19th. They suspected something, looked for a test, but it took 11 days. They didn't get the results until yesterday, Wednesday, February 26, according to a UC Davis statement. Meaning, just like Adam says he's been saying and warning about for a long time, the CDC's own testing protocols actually prohibited detection of the real virus outbreak in the United States. He suggests, and I can't argue, that it almost looks like it's so stupid it has to be by design. And there's more, but you get the picture. Well, where I want to go next is the economic aspect of this. We're going to talk about it on a couple of fronts when it comes to the things we need to be doing here. And this is a piece from a guy I've already mentioned in the first half, Jim Willey. And his latest missive is entitled Asian Virus Backlash and Gold Breakouts. And like so many others, he points out, yeah, there's a whole lot we don't yet know about the coronavirus, its potential planning, whether it was planned or not, or is it merely being exploited? Remember what famous tyrants in the Obama regime said, you never want to let a perfectly good crisis go to waste. Now, Willie goes a step further than some commentators do. He notes that the elite agenda can never be dismissed. You can't even tell who the real participants are and whether they're voluntary or being coerced. But certainly, remember this, we have a situation where China just may desire vengeance. And this finally might be a tool that they use. Now, that's not saying they did it, but that gets used to finally wreck King Dollar and to end up, and this is Willie's point for a long time, pushing gold onto the financial high throne. The global transition with the accompanying paradigm shift was either planned with the bio attack, or it'll occur anyway. Never let a crisis go to waste, right? In the aftermath. Now, the motivation is difficult to determine, but certainly it is clear all over the globe that the debate is going to continue, and so are the impacts. What is certain, though, is that when China eventually recovers, and yeah, that'll happen, the United States and China will almost certainly decouple and go their separate ways. The reality might be far different than what the bankster cabal probably wanted or was planning. What will come, though, is deglobalization toward a slow, deliberate, he calls it an L-shaped recovery, as opposed to the V-shaped narrative that everybody always wants, right? Quick down, quick back up, don't worry your pretty little heads about it, get back and buy the dips. But one factoid sticks out. Wuhan has 48 plants. In one area of China, Wuhan, 48 plants which supply 80% of the pharmaceutical components to the United States. Now, the number in that ABC article was a bit higher than that, but that was the whole country. This is just the Wuhan area. Present inventory is about 3 weeks, says Willie, and it's starting to run down. Now, it takes a while for the supplies to get shipped, so you add that into the mix, too. But once they run out, they probably won't be getting a whole lot more, and it's going to take a while to find alternatives. All of these are discussed in his latest missive that he sells and certainly wants to have people purchase, the February Hat Trick newsletter. But anyway, says the global supply chain is profoundly going to be affected. Financial failures will with certainty occur. Major debt restructuring will be forced. And I did some stories on this at least a week or more ago. Force majeure has begun to be called out. Now, this is when the ruling party in China essentially issues a letter to various companies and says, hey, here's your get out of jail free card. You're free from this contract. You don't have to buy what you contracted to buy or sell what you are going to deliver because of forces beyond your control. And it should be noticed that that'll happen first in Asia and eventually in the United States. For example, big hotel commercial loans or mortgages, he says, are now entering default. And remember, most big U.S. companies are just financial shell entities loaded with debt, filled with financial engineering, operated by dishonorable, greedy executive management. And he notes that an analyst named William Engdahl has provided a review, and the initial impressions after nearly a solid month is that the Wuhan COVID-19 has been, and we've talked about this, I don't think there's much doubt about it anymore, artificially manipulated, bioengineered. They added HIV elements. And the bioengineering procedure is called gain-of-function research. And Willie says that's a practice that's so filled with risk that it was banned by the U.S. government anyway in 2013. Although, it's interesting to note that former Langley employee Robert David Steele believes that a bioweapon was in fact unleashed by the Anglo-American security agencies. Think the those beholden to the Brennans and Clappers of the world upon their rival, China. And don't think that the deep state is under the control of the president, folks. There still seem to be black hat elements within these major deep state intelligence agencies that are doing what they want to do, you know, come hell or high water, and president, I literally, be damned. The coronavirus, as you know, is an adaptation of the SARS virus, and he gives more details. It's a scary time. China will effectively shut down the U.S. healthcare system within months, talking about those supply chain issues. And John Rappaport, another name that I respect, has reported boldly on the bioweapon theory of the epidemic, and he believes that authorities are probably going to be too quick to blame many deaths, including from things like pneumonia, on the coronavirus. Now, that's a switch from what we've seen before, where China, of course, was having all kinds of pneumonia deaths which result from the coronavirus, and they say, oh, well, that's just pneumonia. The point is, it's going to be hard to know exactly which end is up, as, you know, truth is the first casualty of war. And remember, testing procedures are suspect anyway. Beware, says Willie, of forced vaccination programs for the usual reasons, not only of their being ineffective, possibly laced with toxins, things like thimerosal and mercury, but even actual live virus strains. It's one of the issues associated with a vaccine injection. I'll come back to that in a second because that gets to the health part of the equation here. But I do want to ask the question again, who do you trust? From here, Willie goes on to talk about the economic aspects, right? The thing that is likely to have more impact on most people's lives than the pandemic virus itself. Gold in terms of Japanese yen is not just breaking out, but it's a gigantic event long term. The breakout carries much deeper significance, he says, because it looks to Willie like Japan is repudiating their status, long standing, as a U.S. vassal. And they're now embarking on a different path, distancing themselves from King Dollar and its long shadow. The gold price in Chinese yuan is also breaking out. That's a surprise. And the backlash from the coronavirus has ultimately, when it comes to gold and international financial markets, begun in earnest. The immediate effect from hampering the Asian supply chain function, with several hundred, if not several thousand, companies being idled, is to reduce the currency valuations of those Asian currencies. Immediate result, gold price uniformly across the Asian currencies is going up and breaking out. So the virus has led to a continental Asian gold breakout. How fitting, he notes. And you can expect the Asians to encourage that process to continue with both more currency devaluations. Why? Because that will at least stimulate exports as well, a little bit, and encouragement even of public gold ownership. China, for example, has already been on that path. Oh, and watch for helicopter money, too, which, says Willie, may apparently be about to occur in Hong Kong. Bottom line, all of Asia is abandoning the U.S. fiat dollar. The U.S. government, of course, stepped in, discouraged that conversion, and intimidated some leaders, but now we have full panic mode. And the following sequence, he suggests, just might be a reality over the next couple of years, 2020 through 21. The virus hits Asia. Their regional economy slides, currencies decline, gold prices in those currencies thus rises to all-time record highs, and the weakened currencies then trigger a global price rally in gold, and first it'll be in Japanese yen terms, a multi-year breakout, and then the others. He points to some of the charts, and you can't see the charts anyway, but there's a gigantic 50-year, what's called a cup and handle formation here, which is very bullish if gold breaks out. Not too much higher in yen than it already is. Soon, he says, all of Asia will feature gold price breakouts, including South Korea, Thailand, and Indonesia. And ultimately, he goes on to say, here's some predictions from Willie, and these are important to at least think about and plan for. The Chinese probably will not fulfill their end of the trade deal. Expect a surprise. Some event which goes contrary to the two-year-long trade deal between the U.S. and China. That had featured, says Willie, this is his inside information, a secret plan to raise the Chinese yuan valuation. Remember, Trump has been essentially talking about that, strengthening their currency. That would bring down the U.S. dollar relatively and greatly lift gold in terms of U.S. dollars. Now, if we have this backlash and a so-called flight to safety, and at least for now, investors think the dollar is more safe than other currencies. That would mean pressure on gold in terms of dollars, but not so much in these Asian currencies. So he says, that's been scrapped, though, with the arrival of the coronavirus. So watch for the Chinese communist officials in Beijing to devalue the Chinese yuan in a powerful gesture. That'll cause a big financial crisis in the U.S. and the West. And get this, he says that will be vengeance for what may or may not have been done by Langley or whoever. And the point is, there's plenty of finger-pointing going on here, and whether the truth is that it was the Chinese incompetence and they released it from their own biosafety level 4 lab in the nearby area, or if somebody was trying to pin it on them, how better than to do it by releasing your own nasty engineered bioweapon in the very vicinity of the one you want to blame, right? Point is, we probably won't be able to tell what the truth is. The waste stream's been lying about the fact that it's got HIV components and has been bioengineered anyway. The first Indian paper that even hinted that it was, not a likely thing that this could happen by chance was shouted down and taken off the web. Now we've got another one saying, oh yeah, they were right, but the Chinese researchers didn't call it anything but a mutation, so that's okay. Anyway, all of this, including the interrupted supply chain, is but one of several important aspects of what's going on. Looking at the longer-term gold price in Chinese yuan, he says you got another major jump shift up that's occurring. However, in terms of U.S. dollars, gold still remains below its 2012 high of $1,900 an ounce. But Here comes prediction number two. Now, this is where the rubber starts to meet the road on this economic fallout. And I encourage people to think about things like this and pay attention. Real briefly, I'll mention the following. I saw some indications a week or more ago and suggested that Apple, among others, some of the big tech giants, might really get hammered given what we knew was going to happen. And think about it, folks. I actually did a little bit of looking just before airtime today. If one had gone out and taken a pretty big risk, for example, bought some short-term put options on Apple at around $300 a share, which is way overvalued anyway, it made perfectly good sense. It was just a very short time horizon. Anyway, some of those options are up 60-fold in less than a week. In other words, if you had had the chutzpah to put it all on Red 7, if you will, buy some Apple put options at 300 and roll the dice, $1,000 could have been turned into 50 or 60 grand by today. Wow. Well, okay, we don't have to have those kinds of numbers to say, look, we can make more prudent preparations and buy things that are historically cheap as opposed to overvalued and having to put options on them. Just buy things that are historically cheap, and gold is certainly one of those. Your host has suggested, and will continue to, that silver is probably the cheapest high-value investment on the planet. Oh, and guess what? The Bible actually says it's real money, honest weights and measures, and that's an important thing. Okay, back to the vengeance equation and Willie's predictions. Vengeance will be seen in gold market explosion, and he believes they'll eventually take down the COMEX and the London Bullion Exchange. U.S. bankster criminal cabal has set all of these things in motion via fraudulent paper devices, and now that the exchange for physical sham has been abused, used, exposed, and dissected as a gigantic gimmick, and the breakdown of the bond market, the LIBOR market, the junk bond market, all of that will precipitate a gold response. He believes the gold price in terms of U.S. dollars will hit $2,000 an ounce this year. Honestly, I don't think that's an unreasonable or even extravagant prediction. The bankster cabal will try to interfere, as they always do, but there are some big change agents at play. He calls a couple of the big players behind the scenes the gold whales. There are two of them, he says, who buy every time the price is suppressed by enormous paper attacks. We had a really big one earlier this week, permitted, says Willie, by the lapdog regulators, and they are obstructing the bankster fraudulent ongoing game. And while the gold price has consolidated since September, October, November, open interest has risen. Now, what does that mean? It means the more paper they sell, the deeper in the hole they get. But never before has it happened that the bankster cabal has been trapped like they are today. Commitment of traders, open interest is near a billion contracts, says Willie, and when it sells off, as it has for the past 30 years, that open interest has fallen, but not this time. And that is a major change. The gold price breakout is occurring uniformly across the entire globe, with the singular exception of the British pound, which was, remember, supposed to get weak because of Brexit. And once again, they lied. All kinds of things are going on in Europe. I'm going to skip all of that. But basically, notes Willie, this is a time to be prepared, not just in terms of physical aspects, but economically as well. Have things on hand that you need. And if you're looking to, ride the storm out, precious metals are a really good option to think about. And if gold goes through the roof, as has often been said, I've probably said it too, that would mean silver would go to the moon. Why do I say that? Well, because of something real simple called a ratio trade. Historically, whether you're looking at the amount of gold and silver in the Earth's crust, somewhere between 16 and 20 to 1, or the historic ratio in U.S. currency. Remember back when we had honest money, a $20 gold piece, what was called a double eagle, Mark Twain wrote about it in Tom Sawyer and Huck Finn and other books, that gold double eagle was worth $20, and it was about the size of a silver dollar, approximately the same weight, which was worth what? $1. And of course, that $1 is worth a lot more today than what one paper dollar is. And it turns out you can still, by the way, buy a gallon of gas, especially if you exclude the taxes, for about a silver dime, even though the price of gasoline is a lot higher in terms of paper money. All right, from there, I want to close with one other reminder. When it comes to things we need to be thinking about and doing, this is a piece from Bill Sardi, via LouRockwell.com, and it's got a kind of a funny title. He says, "Why I Want to Be Infected with COVID-19, and You Should Too." Let me summarize this, if we run out of time to do the whole thing in detail, with one comment. Don't be scared. Be prepared. Well, he says, you might think I'm crazy. Who'd want to intentionally get infected with this allegedly deadly COVID-19 virus that's now causing human populations to cancel airline reservations, cruises, health officials to quarantine, vacationers on ocean liners, stock markets to crash, and even empty Chinese restaurants around the globe. He talks about South Korea. People are lining up to get face masks. All of this because of a newly mutated virus that the world has no antibodies against. Well, engineered bioweapons will do that. And it's killing, well, he says, frankly, now this, folks, is what I want you to listen carefully to, only those individuals with weak immune systems. Says Bill Sardi, I want to be infected, so I will develop natural lifelong antibodies against this mutated virus that appears to be produced in a laboratory anyway, not mutated in the wild. And remember, vaccines, most of them, especially modern ones, do not produce lifelong antibodies. And there's no approved vaccine now anyway, so you have to think about how your own body can produce these antibodies against the dreaded virus. Now here comes where he asks the important question. Would you be one of those who would roll up their sleeves and get inoculated with a live virus vaccine if it were available today? That seems like a contradiction. People are scared to become infected naturally, but you'd be willing to be injected with a virus along with various heavy metal adjuvants, mercury, aluminum, and so forth, that might actually backfire and result in the vaccine provoking a mortal reaction, about which he talks more in the rest of the details here. Think about that. People are scared of the virus, so what? Let's inject ourselves with it up front, along with some other poisons, and hope that we don't shed it and spread it or die of complications associated with it, or worse. World populations are living on the edge of fear. Vaccine manufacturers are salivating because they could probably sell a few billion doses today. Now that the scare has been inculcated in enough people. On the other hand, if you refuse vaccination, you might end up being burned at the stake, figuratively, if not literally, because fear spreads faster than any coronavirus. Asians are the new lepers, he says. Look at the Black Plague in Europe and note that a certain ethnic group was blamed for the spread. Members were literally burned at the stake. And when a vaccine does become available, if you refuse, don't think your fear-crazed neighbors, already properly indoctrinated, aren't going to try to do the same. They probably will burn your house to the ground with you along in it. And yeah, certainly boosting your own immune system is vastly superior to taking the poke. And he lists the usual groups, old people, very young people, people with suppressed immune systems because of any number of varieties of drugs and so forth. And remember, if you get the infection, you get a lifelong immunity. Now, I'm going to make one other comment here because one of the things that's been talked about in this engineered bioweapon is the fact that it mutates a lot. And it seems to have been deliberately engineered to mutate specifically. So, the possibility exists that even if there is a vaccine developed, but the virus mutates, the vaccine is ineffective. What do you do? What will you do, right? Well, I'll suggest better to trust your own immune system, which is fearfully and wonderfully made anyway. I'll briefly read again Deuteronomy chapter 28, where it talks about obedience. The Creator says, and this is probably one of the most important things you'll hear from Scripture when it comes to vaccines and immunity, it shall come to pass, if you hearken diligently unto the voice of Yahuwah, your El, to observe to do all his commandments, well, then all this good stuff will happen, he says. But if not, there's a whole lot of bad stuff. If you will not observe to do all the words of this Torah that are written in this book, that you might fear the glorious and awful name, Yahuwah, your El, then all kinds of stuff happens, including he'll bring back upon you the diseases of Egypt that you were fearful of, and also every sickness, every plague, which is not even written in this book of the Torah. Those he will bring upon you until you are destroyed. All right, if that's not important enough of a warning, let me close with just a couple of things in the few seconds we have left that Sardi points out that we can do. Understand, folks, you avoid things that aren't food, eat things that are good food. Add zinc supplements, which is a good way to strengthen your immune system. Understand there's a lot of good forms of zinc. Furthermore, there are other things that are important too. Vitamin B6 is necessary for proper absorption of zinc. Iron is a good thing. And finally, don't forget vitamins C and D, especially D3 and K2. Especially if this thing mutates, as it seems to be designed to, keeping your immune system able to fight it off is far more important than trusting in Big Brother to save you. Although most important, without question, is to know who you can trust, who you can't, and arguably better still, who we serve, because it matters more now than ever.